This is Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life, the trials, the tribulations, and the triumphs. Discussions about how faith matters to you and our community. Only on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Support for Faith Matters is brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine. Now, here are your hosts, Ryan Price and David Cruz.
Welcome to Faith Matters. Today, we are in the studio with Holly Beatenbow, who is the ministry director at Beatenbow Homes, which has just now been ranked number 66 on Builder Magazine's Builder 100 list. Beatenbow Homes has now totaled in 2012 a revenue exceeding $80 million and has become an institution here in Lubbock. Very pleased to have you with us today, Holly. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. It's a blessing to be with you and an honor.
Welcome, Holly. We're delighted. I have to begin with a little personal story, Ryan, about Holly. And that is, some years ago, I had the privilege, the real honor of going out at their invitation to their headquarters, which is over in South Lubbock. 82nd Street, I believe, right, Holly?
Correct. That's correct.
But it was really a great experience because they had a very early morning devotional with their staff. And I don't know if you still have that custom or
every
how
morning.
Often. Oh, you do it
every
morning?
Every morning at 8 a.m.
Well, let me tell you, it was so moving to me because I didn't know what anybody's religious background was, and nor did it seem to matter what mine was. It was just good human beings coming together at the beginning of a new day, first of all, to give thanks to God for the gift of life. But then y'all said, would you talk to us a little bit about prayer, which I did, and then we prayed. And I was just remembering that the other day, knowing that you were going to be our guest today on Faith Matters. And I thought, how beautiful that is. Now, I suspect to do that takes a lot of respect on everybody's part. But then I was curious, Ryan, to know, that seems like it would be great for a workplace where everybody has buy-in that the culture is going to be a spiritual culture. How do you do that? How do you get everybody to buy in?
Well, clearly not everyone who works with us is a believer. We feel like that's part of our ministry as well. But just during the interview process, we make it very clear who we are. Our mission statement is to glorify God by being good stewards of the resources that He's entrusted to us. And that is on our wall, in our office, on our conference room. So we just make it really clear who we are. And then if it's a choice to invite them to join our team, we just say, this is who we are. Is this something that you desire to be a part of? And we just approach it that way by trying to be completely open about who we are.
So those kinds of spiritual components are an invitation, not an imposition.
Yeah, it's just this is just who we are. If you're interested in joining us, then we'd love to have you on the team.
I'm looking down and I see, as I said earlier, your title is ministry director for a company that's a building company. And I'm just thinking, what's the genesis of that? How does that vision even begun? Where did that come out of?
Yeah, it's so interesting. I have a degree actually from Texas Tech in family studies and child development. I did not know at all that God's plan was going to be for me to get to be a part of a huge family and get to try to be a caregiver. And that's really what it means. It just means I'm a servant. I'm a servant to them. I serve their families. I serve them. Whatever it is that they need, I'm available to do. We try to create a culture and an environment where spiritual growth can happen if you're interested in it. So we have our 8 a.m. Bible studies. We have Bible studies on Monday evenings for the spouses, the women. Our men have men's group luncheons at time to time where they get together and discuss spiritual matters. So we just try to create a family atmosphere where you're loved and accepted. And we just try to live out what we read here. And we try to hold each other accountable to that in a loving way. The Bible, I'm
pointing to
my
Bible. Sure.
Yes. You know, we will say, okay, this says this in the Word of God, what does that look like in this situation? Mm-hmm. How does that translate to what we're living right now? And those are common topics in our business meetings. Those are common things.
Was that from the beginning with Beatenbow Homes?
It was not from the beginning.
Okay.
It was not from the beginning. All of this really started out of my father-in-law's experience many years ago. He He was in commercial construction back in the 80s. He had accumulated quite a wealth. And when the oil market crashed in West Texas, then the real estate market followed shortly thereafter. And during that time, he had leveraged a lot of his income on, he had borrowed a lot of his money. He had leveraged his income. And so when the stock market crashed, he ended up losing everything, including the home that he had just built in Lake Ridge. He ended up taking a $60,000 check to the closing on that home. So he owed $60,000 more on the home than he sold it for.
Our listeners are going to want to know, how do you come back from that kind of a collapse?
Yeah. Well, it was very important to him to pay back the debt that he owed. He never declared bankruptcy. He wanted to hold on to that debt, so he held on to it. And he just tried different business ventures. He moved to Amarillo. He had actually built a Quality Inn hotel there, and he and his family took up residence inside that hotel, trying to run it. He ran it personally, ran it himself, until he was able to sell it. And then he moved to California. He had an aging mom who was in her 80s, and he was taking care of her. She lived with him also. They were actually living off of her finances. He had lost everything, owed hundreds of thousands of dollars. In California, they just couldn't get any business deals to work. In the meantime, his oldest son, who's my husband, Rick, had started building homes in Lubbock with a couple of other gentlemen, and it was working. And Ron called Rick from California and said, I'll get right up to the door of a deal and it'll slam shut in my face. I just can't get anything going here. I'm gonna have to come back to Lubbock. I'm starving to death. And so Rick said, well, come back and let's try this together. And if God blesses it, we'll just kind of go from there. Ron had always been a Christian, but he didn't have a personal relationship with Christ. Totally different, totally different. During the time that he lost everything in that wilderness or desert, you know, time in his life, he found a personal relationship with the Lord. And that really started to change things. And so he moved back here. He and Rick started building. The Lord blessed it. It took about 7 years for Ron to be able to pay back all of the debt that he had accumulated during that time. After those 7 years, he brought the Bible to the table at Thanksgiving around our dinner table, and he said, in Exodus, it says, bring forth your first fruits to the house of the Lord your God. I missed it the first time. God blessed me with wealth, and I didn't understand that he blessed me so that I could be a blessing. But I don't want to miss it the second time. If God continues to bless this, we've got to figure out how to do this in a way that will glorify him.
That story told so wonderfully by Holly just now tells us a lot about the spiritual underpinnings of Biedenbo Homes, and why they're somewhat unique, I would venture to say, in the world of pure capitalism, symbolized by the Bernie Madoffs and the Enrons of the world. I know that you want to pursue that topic further.
I just would ask you, Holly, just before we go to the break, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, these biblical metaphors that are, I'm wondering, maybe when we come back also, in addition to where this genesis of giving comes from, okay, suddenly now we're in a turnaround with oil is back on the table here in West Texas. What keeps one humble? Maybe we should talk about that as well when we come back. You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.
Faith Matters is brought to you in part by supporters like these. Skagen Dickey Chevrolet Buick Subaru, Hospice of Lubbock, serving the South Plains, Happy State Bank, happy to be in the Hub City, and Second Baptist Church, thriving, inclusive, spirit-led.
You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts, with your hosts Ryan Price and David Cruz, brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine.
Welcome to Faith Matters. Today we are sitting in the studio with Holly Biedenbo, who is the ministry director at Biedenbo Homes, which is just ranked number 66 on Builder Magazine's Builder 100 list. Before the break, we were talking about your title as ministry director and how unusual that is for a home building company, and what a unique imprint unusual DNA, spiritual DNA, that's a part of Beatenbow Homes. It interests me, just before the break, we were talking about how your father-in-law originally founded Beatenbow Homes and lost everything. And now, of course, we're seeing what you might describe as a great blessing. Wanting to talk about what keeps one humble during times of plenty.
And pride is something that we always have to pray against, you know, every one of us, because we had nothing. Deuteronomy, you can probably tell me the address exactly, but y'all probably can. It talks about how don't forget the Lord your God, who gives you the ability to have success and to be successful. And it's just absolutely the truth. I think we meet up with our humanity all the time, unfortunately. So it's not that hard to stay humble when our whole story is a story about us. It's just like the Israelites, us forgetting all that God has done, us forgetting to consult God and ask for his leadership, and us running ahead of him and then getting out there and floundering and going, oh, wow, looking back, and God's waiting for us back where he turned off and we ran on ahead. And he says, you know, if you'll join me back here, then maybe we can figure this out. And it's just, our whole story is about us running ahead, making mistakes, falling flat on our face, looking up to God and him lifting us up. Mm-hmm. That's the whole story of all of it. And it just is over and over and over again. Even after 21 years, it's the same story.
You used a language to talk about your father-in-law as saying he was always Christian, but then at some point he took this shift, fundamental shift, transformation. Your language is...
He found a personal relationship.
Personal relationship. What do you mean by that?
I think we can fall into going through the rituals, going through the routines of going to church every Sunday morning, reading through here of all the laws and what we're supposed to do. We can get into religiosity as far as following all the rules, doing what's in the book, but not fully understanding his love for us and his desire to have a personal relationship with us, and for us to know him personally, for us to know his heart, for us to see his heart amidst his words in here, and to understand his desires, have insight for living because of knowing him. I think we can lose the best part, in my opinion, the best part, and that is just the fellowship, the communion. He wants to hear about the little things in your day. He wants to hear about the big things in your day. He wants to know what your thoughts are, even though he knows what your thoughts are. He wants to hear them from you. He wants that fellowship. I think that relationship part of it is what was missing in those early Christian years of just going to church every time the door was open and following the rules that are in the book, but not having a personal relationship.
Not really taking it to heart and letting it change, transform.
Yeah.
What you were referencing, Holly, about humility in the face of success reminded me of Mac Davis from Lubbock. He had a song that said, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way." Well, let me assure you, that song applies to neither myself or my partner over here. Humility, I think, is such an important ingredient, because every successful person that I know of in the business world or in society is going to have to face at one time or another some criticism. Mm. Doesn't matter how successful they are. And I'm sure you've endured your share as a successful businesswoman and a spiritual leader, which you are, both of those things. How do you deal with criticism? Help our listeners who I think would be very interested to know, because again, a successful person is going to remain humble, because doesn't matter how successful you get, you're going to have your share of critics.
We try our very, very best to make sure that we've just done the right thing. If we do the right thing, do our very, very best, my gauge is always, does it glorify you, God? If it glorifies you, I can be good with it, regardless of whether anybody else is good with it or not. If it's okay in your eyes, then I can be good with it. The truth is, we have made far more mistakes than we have done things right. That's just the simple truth. You know, that there's just that humanity element in it. And try as we may, we're going to fall short. We're going to make mistakes in that. And so we're just try to be very real about that. And we're try to accept responsibility, you know, try to accept responsibility and do the right thing in whatever the situation is.
I think we live in a world that is sometimes critical of success, and where there can be petty strife and jealousy. Well, you have out your scriptures there. It reminds me what Jesus went through when he did good.
Yeah.
Just about every corner he turned after performing some good or wondrous deed, he had his critics. Mm-hmm. And he had people who tried to tear him down and who were destructive. And I think that we have a lot of that in our society. And that's one of the reasons I think faith matters, because hopefully it's a way to navigate us through some of that, where we often seek to undermine good, or be critical of it, or we're skeptical of it.
Yes. Yeah. Oh,
people
yes.
will see goodness and almost immediately ascribe yeah. motives to it mm-hmm. that are not pure.
As they say, no good deed goes unpunished. And there are folks who would love to see generous people caught in the act of being ungenerous mm-hmm. or being stingy or whatever it may be. And so you have to now be in the position of dealing with that, but you seem to do it with grace.
Well, God-given grace, for sure. And maybe I even think his grace sometimes blinds me from some of that. I think he protects us and shields us sometimes from that. And I know that there are layers now. Gina is here with us in the studio today. There are just layers of that come. And I know she shields us from a lot of that. She's a shield, and she stands, and she addresses some of those questions. And
Gina is with
Beatonville She's our Homes. Marketing. She's our marketing manager, and is amazing, and has a heart for the Lord mm-hmm. that is just beautiful, beautiful. So I think surrounding ourselves with great people, God has brought an incredible team to work with us. And just knowing that we work as hard as we possibly can every day, we're going to fall short. We just do our best every single day. And as long as we can look at ourselves in the mirror at night, and of course there are going to be those times when you say, man, I sure could have done that better. And in those instances, you just have to go and say, I'm sorry, I sure could have done that better. Can you forgive me? That is not the example that I want to set. That's not the representation of Jesus that I want to be. So,
when we continue this conversation after the break, I want to ask Holly about how she replenishes her spirit and her soul.
You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.
This is Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts, hosted by Ryan Price and David Cruz, and brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. Today we are in the studio with Holly Beatonbow, who is the ministry director at Beatonbow Homes, and we have been having a conversation about, well, the spirituality of Beatonbow Homes and their work in and around Lubbock and West Texas. But actually beneath that underlying philosophy, spirituality that shapes their work.
Just as we were about to go on break, I said I want to ask Holly about how she replenishes her spirit and her soul for the work that she does. And the way I would pose this question to you is, I like to think that every human being has like a little aquifer, a little underground reservoir of water that is life-giving, right? But the more we do, and the more we serve, and the more we love, the more we tend to be as human beings depleted, so that sometimes our water level gets low. Well, for myself, I find the way to increase the water level and get it back up to where it needs to be, prayer, rest, being around good, healthy, holy people, laughter, okay? Those kinds of activities, those kinds of things. How do you refill your aquifer, Holly? How do you replenish your spirit?
You said it beautifully, and this took me a long time to figure out. I'm 44 years old, and for years, while my kids were young, we were active in our church for 17 years. I was VBS director, children's choir director, on the praise team. My husband was a deacon. He taught a Sunday school class. I mean, for 17 years. And on Sundays, our Sundays looked like this. 7:30, I was at church, running through the music for the first service, singing three services, going to lunch real fast, coming back up for worship team practice for the next Sunday. After worship team practice was over, going to children's choir and leading children's choir from 4:30 till about almost 6 o'clock, at which time we went to our small group at 6 o'clock. I mean, those were our Sundays.
This was your day of rest.
For 17 years. That's exactly right. And, you know, after 17 years, our kids graduated from high school, and we felt the Lord telling us, you are hearing the cries of the people much louder than you're hearing my voice. And I want a time with you. So he called us out of our church after 17 years. I left my 79-year-old mom there and my husband's parents there. It was very difficult for us. I'm a people pleaser. That was difficult. That was an act of obedience. So for the last year, we have been taking Sundays as a Sabbath. No TV, rest. Mm-hmm. We listen to sermons all week long. We do Bible studies with our company all week long. And we on Sundays, and I don't know how long of a season this is going to be, and this is absolutely not permission for people to leave the church. Please do not hear that. This was a very specific...
Especially not mine.
No. This was a very specific instance in our life where we became more committed to our church and the congregation of our church and the people of our church than we were committed to God. And I confess that, and I to repent of that. God knew we couldn't just pull out of some of those things. He knew we had to make a clean break and endure all the criticism that went with that and endure all of the controversy that went with that. And it all did come. What we didn't know is that God was preparing us personally for the storm of our life so far with our son. We've walked through a very difficult time with our son. But if we had not had those Sundays all day long in the Word of God, I mean, you know, and I can do Bible studies and I can do all of that other stuff. But what really, really fills my tank is the Word of God. It's just the Word of God. If you don't get it in there, it can't help. The Holy Spirit can't navigate you. If you don't know it, it can't be in there as a roadmap. You've got to know it. It's got to be in here for the Holy Spirit to call it to mind and lead you and guide you in it. That's just been my experience, because over that year of preparation and just diving into the Word, God was preparing us for a storm. He was preparing us for a storm. Now stay in church, folks.
You do raise the question about boundaries. And part of saying yes, there is a matter of saying no and letting your yes be yes and your no be no. Yeah. And discerning what we're called to and what we have the energy for. Otherwise, it's all a mess, right?
Yeah. I mean, the Sabbath, it's a commandment. It's among the ten. And that's something that for years we just completely, it was all good stuff that we were doing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was all good stuff. It was all stuff for the Lord. It was all stuff for others. It was, but it was not filling us. It was not growing us. Spiritually, we weren't growing. We weren't growing spiritually because we weren't in here like we needed to be.
I like your example personally, because I see a lot of burnout, and I have over the years. It's sometimes in very good giving people.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't even notice those signs of burnout in ourselves. But it reminds me of an old saying that I heard. This was centuries ago. A very wise holy man said, "Do not neglect the parish of your own soul." Mm. So we all have this little temple, parish, mosque, whatever you want to call it, inside of us. If we neglect it for the sake of doing a lot for others, which is in and of itself a good thing, get so run down sometimes, and then that personal relationship with God isn't what it ought to be. So I don't hear you saying anything negative. I think it's very, very positive. I like very much the example.
Well, I will go for 3-hour walks sometimes out in the middle of the country, and where you can hear a woodpecker on a telephone pole miles away because it's so quiet. I mean, I just have to have that day. Now, I don't know how I did that. I didn't do it well. I didn't do anything well all those years. All that service, I didn't do any of it well. And it wasn't for His glory. A lot of it probably was for my glory. You know what I mean?
It's interesting that you say I'm a people pleaser. Part of maturing, growing, is learning that that's a part of me, and it's
my struggle.
Yes, it's my virtue, but it's also my sin.
Absolutely. He just established with me, you are to please me and me alone, and I want to have that. I'm a jealous God. I want to have your time. So that's my time with Him. It's sitting on the back porch. It's reading the Word. It's letting Him speak to you through that.
I thank you so much for sharing. You said about your son, and I don't want to be intrusive. It's very valuable to me and to our listeners, I'm sure, because I think there might be a perception, Holly, that you have a pretty perfect life. And that isn't always the case, because we don't always know what the struggles and what the heartaches of a human being are, even if they attempt to live a good life and do live a good life. Say a little more about that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Every single person has their struggles. And what some people might consider to be the greatest blessing, along with that comes a responsibility. Ryan hit on that earlier, talking about to whom much is given, much is required. I mean, that's what the word says, and it's truth. You never know what people are carrying around with you. We have tried to be so transparent and open and honest about the struggles that we've had with our son. And honestly, wow, the testimony that God has given us through it is unbelievable. The ways we have seen God move and work through this most difficult time in our life. I get what Paul means when he says, count it all good, because I would never have seen the face of God. I would have never experienced God the way we've experienced him had it not been for this trial and this struggle.
I think of my grandmother, who used to talk about not only the down and out, but also the up and out. I think there's a lot of truth to that, that there's something shared about our humanity, that every one of us, when a storm comes, is going to be hit.
Holly, thank you very much for joining Ryan and I, and for being a blessing not only to our community, but today to our listeners. You are a light. You are a light, and we thank you for that.
Holly, thank you so much for being here today. You've been listening to Faith Matters with Holly Beatenbow, Ryan Price, and David Cruz on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. You can catch this episode and others on our website at ktz.org.